It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. It's Sunday morning. We only have an hour today, so let's get started. Wes Moss here every Sunday morning, along with Ryan Ely. Ryan and I are just talking about what we're going to talk about today, because we typically come in here, we've got a lot of different topics to get to, and we're never exactly sure where the snow goes. The show goes, because it's like a snowflake. It is new every time. There's no exact way to do it, and that's why we like to take your calls and your questions, and we talk about, oh, well, a couple things here today. Why a wealth tax just doesn't work or won't work in the United States. There's so much talk about it this week because the debates, the Democratic debates, a lot of different talk about different wealth tax ideas. So Bernie Sanders has his version of a wealth tax. Elizabeth Warren has her version of a wealth tax. She wants to just say, look, hey, if you're worth a bunch of money, I don't know, if your art collection and your caravans and your yachts and your bank account and your stock account and the value of your business is worth over, I don't know, $10 million, $20, $30 million, then you got to just pay a tax because you're wealthy in America. Bernie Sanders, same thing. Different parameters on both. They want to hit you at different levels or hit the ultra, ultra wealthy at different levels. But we've got to remember, too, Europe tried that. Europe, France did that since the 80s all the way to 2017, and they got rid of it because it just didn't work. Warren wants to take a 2% tax on household wealth above $50 million. Bernie wants to do a 1% tax on household wealth above $32 million. I know these are big numbers, and I think these are easy targets for politicians because 99.99% of the people listening, they don't have that wealth. So they're like, oh, okay, well, that's really wealthy. And then Bernie wants to go for 1% on the first $32 million and then go all the way up to 8%, just a straight 8% tax on your wealth, not your income, just your wealth. So they bring in more revenue to the government, and then they have their social programs for that. But they tried that in France. It's called the solidarity tax on wealth. It was a French wealth tax. It started in the 80s. It was repealed. Didn't work. Did not work. By 2017, they shut it down. They just shut it down because, well, the wealthy left France in droves. They just said, forget about it. 10,000 wealthy people left with 35 billion euros worth of assets in about a decade and a half because of taxes. And what's interesting is this, the wealth tax in France brought in an extra 3.5 billion. So it did work on the revenue side. So the French government brought in $3.5 billion more in tax receipts. Oh, wait a minute. Did it work? Well, no, it didn't work because the government then lost over that same period of time 7 billion euros because of a reduction in overall tax receipts, unemployment, businesses leaving, and that's per year, $3.5 billion more to lose $7 billion each year. And they finally said, forget about it. Forget about it. A lot of these European countries did this. Australia, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Iceland. There's a long, long list of countries in Europe that tried a wealth tax. Here's the problem with the wealth tax. Here's the problem. Is that it's, what do you actually tax? Well, it's easy to tax cash in a bank account. It's easy to tax the value of a house, put a tax on it. It's easy to tax, if you look at big assets like a yacht, pretty easy to assess what it's worth. Publicly traded stocks, that's really easy to assess. Should it be, but here's the problem. 73% of the wealth for Americans that are in that top 0.1% is in public and private businesses. Only about 5% of the wealth is in homes. So it's very heavily weighted towards private business ownership. And I can tell you as a business owner and working with business owners for a couple decades now, that's where a massive portion of their wealth and their family wealth is. And that is not just here in Atlanta and not here in Georgia, but it's in cities all over the country. It's the same thing in Texas. It's the same thing in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the same thing in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, near where I grew up. It's the same thing in the western states and Oregon and California. It's private business ownership. You hear about the few unicorns that go public, right? But there are millions of family businesses where a lot of wealth's created. Oh, and guess what? Can the government just assign a price tag to a privately held company? Oh, your family company has a staffing company or a HVAC company or a engineering company or trucking company, insurance company. These businesses don't trade like stocks. There's not an exact value that's calculated every minute. It's a big deal to get a valuation. It's very subjective. They're very illiquid and it takes a long time to value them. And by the way, a very long time to sell them or turn the private business into cash. So not to mention these assets, these private businesses of the evil wealthy. Where do you think jobs come from? It's over half of the jobs in America come from these companies. So it doesn't make sense to have business owners have to sell off chunks of the company. Very difficult to do, by the way. Chunks of their businesses every time they have $1 million tax bill. Doesn't work. Hey, guess what? Europe tried it. They are much closer to socialism than we are here in the United States. So if Europe couldn't do it, again, they're close to this. They're a lot closer to socialism than we are here in the United States. God willing, by the way. So if Europe couldn't make it work, it's not going to work here. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We weren't even going to talk about that. Ryan said, you know, I don't know if you should talk about that because it gets a little political. Don't talk about that. That's typically a sign that I'm going to talk about it. Now, but that was not political. We just talked about the economics behind what I think would happen if there was just a big blanket, a wet blanket wealth tax. Here's the other thought about this wealth tax, is it might start with the ultra, ultra, ultra rich, but then it's a slippery slope. Then it says, okay, well, we need more of a wealth tax because it's not working. So we're not going to start at 30 million anymore. We're going to go down to 10 million and then we're going to go down to 5 million. And now you think, oh, well, it's only the 50 million. Well, wait a minute. What if they go all the way down to 1 million? Wait a minute, you've got a house and a 401k and you've saved all your life and now they're going to put a wealth tax on you? Doesn't sound so good anymore, does it? Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Really what I want to talk about is the theme of this week. So by the way, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters as we have a washout rain out yesterday. Bulldogs come back. Everybody's excited, happy again here in the state of Georgia. I'm happy to be here live here on this Sunday morning. Ryan Ely is here. By the way, the phone lines are open this morning. We've got a whole hour to take your calls if you've got questions here on a Sunday morning. And I know you do. And that's okay. That's great. It's what we like to take questions. If we get good ones here on a Sunday morning, or any questions, we'll tackle it. And that's the live part of this show that we're happy to go to. The number here in the studio is 404-872-0750. So if you have questions throughout the week and you wanted to say, hey, I'm going to wait till Sunday morning, driving to church, or maybe I've finished up church or headed to brunch, talk to Wes Moss and the Money Matters team or Ryan Ely that you've been thinking about all week. We're happy to take your calls. And if you don't get through to me, Ryan, he's got a whole hour to chat and answer your financial questions as well here. So use this time if you've got a question or two or maybe just want some direction. We're happy to do it. 404-872 is the number, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. It's 800-WSB-TALK. So I did an update for Scott Slade this Thursday, and I realized that particular day that we were talking about, I guess it would have been Wednesday for a Thursday update for Scott, maybe it was Friday. But it was a typical Wall Street day where you get this deluge of economic data, economic news. We have massive political news this week, not just in the United States, but of course from all over the globe, particularly in the United Kingdom. We're going to talk about that. Earnings. We're in the middle of earnings season. So we had lots of different earnings numbers, earnings reports, profit sales, revenue, specific company news, of course, all moving markets, all this just full cross current of a week in the typical Wednesday or Thursday of Wall Street. But in the end, the day I'm talking about, it was a day where the good really kind of outweighed the bad. Better, the news ultimately was better than expected. And it's been better than expected for most of 2019. And that was the theme that this Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, probably a little worse than expected. Market did fall on Friday. We're still up on the week, by the way. The S&P 500 was positive for the week. The Dow fell slightly on the week because it's heavily weighted to Boeing. Remember, the Dow's only 30 components, so one of those components takes a big dive like Boeing did on Friday, and it can bring down the Dow. So we had one of those weeks where the general market was up. S&P 500 was up about 0.5%. The Dow was down about 0.2%. But the broader market, positive on the week, better than expected. And I thought to myself, you know, this is an interesting example that even though markets are always on edge, and markets are almost expecting disappointing news, expecting the trade deal to fall apart, expecting Brexit, we're going to talk about that in just a second, to go wrong, expecting earnings season to fall short. In fact, a year ago, third quarter earnings, they're getting reported now. A year ago, there was the forecast were for a big profit decline in the third quarter of 2019. But the news of last week, last Thursday, the news of last week, let's say, ended up better than Wall Street was expecting, and much better than any cable TV news show would have led you to believe. So Thursday alone, we got a report from Boris Johnson, who had or almost had a deal for Brexit, where the UK and the EU were about to agree on civil terms, by the way, to part ways. That vote got delayed on Saturday, so it was postponed. But there's still progress here. Very simply, just a quick reminder on Brexit. The global market would rather see a friendly Brexit, by the way, the UK being aligned or staying aligned with the European Union, versus a hard Brexit when they just leave and there's really no coordination to it. That could wipe out 9% of GDP for the United Kingdom and over a several year period cost 500,000 jobs. So since Saturday didn't pass, by the way, there'll be a delay, but they're going to vote on it again. The marketplace, the global marketplace, wants to see some sort of coordination here. Then we got into earnings season and things were better than expected. We're going to talk about that more when Money Matters returns. Weather, traffic, the more Money Matters right here on 95.5 WSB. Straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Here it's Sunday morning. We'll go to the phones. 404-872-0750. Robert in Woodstock. Robert, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
How's our new signal? Is our signal, we moved it a little bit, is it still strong in Woodstock?
I have an exceptional antenna, or it sounds about the same to me.
Okay, I like it. That's what we wanted to hear. For a second, as you paused, I was thinking, he's answered my question. Anyway, what's going on? How can I help today, man?
And I'm not trying to get into timing the market, but given where valuations are, sometimes what corporations do, do you ever shift to more of a cash hoarding strategy? And since there's no personal equivalent of a stock buyback, do you recommend now, instead of a stock buyback, just paying down debt, depending on what it is, during this environment, and maybe doing a little bit of cash hoarding so you have some powder in the keg when investment opportunities arise?
I think rather than a stock buyback, I like your idea of this is really a personal debt buy down. I think this is a good question, Robert. We're in a period of time where stock valuations, I wouldn't say valuations are high, because in general, if you look at multiples of earnings, what investors are paying for earnings, they're historically pretty average, and you could even make a case they're slightly below average. Yes, market levels are high, right? But relative to earnings, they're really not. But you're right. Stocks have done really well. Or call it up 18%, 19% this year. The Dow's up a little less than that. And interest rates are really low. So you've got the 10-year treasury that's moved up in the last couple of weeks around 1.75. So I would say this, rather than a stock buyback, personally, it's a debt buy down. So if you have any debt in the 4 or 5% range, and your conservative money is only paying you 1.5%, and this is your conservative money, this is the cash sitting around, or maybe you have treasury bonds and they're not paying a ton, then I think this is a really smart time to really buy down debt. So it's a personal balance sheet question. You look at your assets, you look at your liabilities, you say, well, I've got this portion of my assets only really doing 2% a year, and I've got some debt over here at 4 or 5. I think this is a really good time to do it. However, I would also say that this, you bring up a really a common conundrum, because it feels like, I don't remember, I've been investing for 20, 25 years. It doesn't ever feel like it's a good time. And I would just remind you that, and our listeners that, Robert, I think it's a smart question, but it always feels like a rough time, right? When interest rates are at 5%, bond investors are saying, well, I remember when they were at 10. And now that interest rates are at 2% or 2.5% for bonds, you say, I remember when they were at 5. So it's always a tough period of time, but I don't see stocks as a whole tremendously overvalued relative to what they're earning, their profits, at this point. Great question. Look at your personal balance sheet. You're listening to Money Matters. More Money Matters right here on WSB. Straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Welcome back to Money Matters. Bottom of the half hour. We've got another half hour left. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Ryan Ealy next to me, sometimes next to me in the studio, mostly in the call booth. I think Mark Arum calls that the takeout window. I think that's what that is, the takeout window. Ryan Ealy at the takeout window. Taking your calls and questions, 404-872-0750. Ryan and I have been doing this for, well, about 10 years now on WSB Radio, but then a couple years before that. So really, we're doing 12-some years. Talking, he's given me the 13-year sign. Wow, that's a lot of years. It's a lot of years. Not a lot of wiggle room there. And we're going to continue to do this as long as we can, as long as it'll let us keep doing it. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. By the way, the number here in the studio is 404-872-0750. Give us a call. We're going to keep, we're going to go back to the phones. We're getting lots of great calls today. Good questions. I know that you have, if you're headed into church, we just had a call talking to a listener. Couldn't quite hang on because she had to go into church. And I get it. I get it. That's obviously a priority. Luckily, we've got church traffic, so you can at least listen to Money Matters in the morning, headed to church or coming from church, but obviously not through church. So the question, then we'll go to the phones in 1 second here. Again, number 404-872-0750 or 800-WSB-TALK. Question was about, is a bigger firm safer? And I've been talking to Clark Howard's team about this, too, to try to understand this, the fiduciary rules that have been really confusing coming out of Congress. But the reality here is that is a big name firm to invest your money safer than a little name firm or an independent firm? And the answer there is, I guess I would say you're maybe asking the wrong question. It's not the firm so much. It's the custodian of the money. If you're looking for, quote, safe or foundational, where can I put my money? My $500,000, my $5 million, my $50 million, my $500 million, whatever the number is. You want a big, big, big custodian. So in some respect, the big Wall Street firms are by default really large, which makes at least them as a custodian, I would say, highly, highly safe. But even the smaller independent firms use big, big custodians. Who are those custodians? Schwab, $5 trillion plus dollar firm. Fidelity, $5 trillion plus dollar firm. If your money's at Vanguard, $5 trillion plus dollar firm. Massive, massive custodians. And they have very solid balance sheets. Those are places that's the first and most obvious place you have to start. Then you have to worry about, okay, the firm I'm working with is then going to help me invest money in this way. That's a whole other conversation. But as far as where is my money, quote, safe, it really starts with the really big custodians. The next level there, the next level up above the foundation is your advisor a fiduciary? Where do you find that word? F- Fiduciary is in something called the form ADV, too. People are tuning out. I can see already. It's just if you search on a website or Google a firm and they're ADV, too, ADV, it will tell you if the firm is a fiduciary or not. And a fiduciary is an advisor that is there to act in your best interest. Best interest. Meaning that, which is different from suitability or the prudence rule. And that suitability or prudence rule, if you're not a fiduciary, means that it has to be pretty good for you, but also good for the advisor. Hey, it's good for me. Hey, it's good for you, but it's really good for me. That rule works if you're not a fiduciary. Fiduciary has to say it's in your best interest. That's the key. Ask your advisor that, right? Ask your advisor if they are a fiduciary. That's important. All right. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We'll go to the phones here, but I also want to talk about this better than expected. The world we are living in, this week was a really important piece of that. The news was just better than expected. Better than expected on Brexit. We're still a long way from getting a good deal there, but at least there's some potential positive developments. Earnings season continues to show profit growth. Morgan Stanley, Netflix, strong earning numbers. BlackRock, Schwab, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Johnson & Johnson, Morgan Stanley, Omnicom, United Health had a huge earnings report. All beating expectations, growing profits, growing earnings. Now, these are just reports. I'm not saying run out and buy these stocks. Of course, you've got to figure out what stocks that work for you in your particular stage of life and your investing cycle of life. But these are just companies that reported better than, as far as this quarter was concerned, better than expected profits. Now, FactSet, which keeps track of earnings, earlier this year said earnings for the fourth quarter are going to decline almost 5%, almost 5% lower than third quarter of 2018, a year ago. But what we've seen so far is that we're seeing revenue, by the way, grow by more than 3%. So that's better than expected. And we've seen earnings only about 3% less than expected. So we're getting better sales growth, 3% more than last year, slightly less bad, let's say, earnings. But we have to look at it not just quarter by quarter or day by day. We've got to look at what's this year going to look like versus last year. So it looks to look at it on a broader period of time. What really matters year over year. Last year, the S&P 500 as a group of companies made $152 in net, let's call it earnings. This year, earnings are clocking in at about $164. That is an 8% growth rate in profits. I'm not talking about stocks up or down. I'm talking about actual earnings coming out of those 500 companies. Actual profits up 8% year over year. U.S.-China trade. This has been a tough one, right? Consensus says there's still a long way before we get a meaningful deal. There was this mini deal last Friday. Now there's this back and forth between the U.S. and China, jawboning over the terms before they're going to sign the deal. China wants tariff removal before they buy $50 billion worth of agriculture. But as lackluster as the mini deal last Friday was, at least both sides didn't grunt at each other and walk out of the room without progress. That means that there is progress, nonetheless, better than expected. And that continues to be the theme that we see here for 2019. Let's go to the phones here. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. 872-0750 or 800-WSB-TALK. Richard in Roswell on the line. Richard, what's going on? How can I help, my friend?
Hi, Wes. My father-in-law died in May, and he left a very detailed will for his children. But that's turned out to be totally useless because just about everything's in probate right now.
Wow.
And what I was trying to figure out or understand is how do you avoid setting up your estate so that your assets go to your children after you die, and you don't have to involve probate court.
Okay, so there's a couple of thoughts here. So the question what Richard's asking is that this is an estate planning question. It gets messy, and it gets to be, it can really be a nightmare. And as being in the investment advisory business, we are on the side where if somebody passes away, or if a client passes away, or a family member of a client passes away, we're there to go through that process with families. And it gets, the more complicated it is, the more probate it there is, the more it can tear a family apart. It can be a real nightmare. You've got siblings that can end up fighting. You've got spouses or ex-spouses that end up fighting. You have children, grandchildren that are involved in the process. And as you could probably imagine, it can get really, really messy. And it doesn't even need to be a huge, huge, huge amount of money. It doesn't need to be $10 million estate to really embroil a family in a lot of drama. It doesn't need to be it can be a $500,000 estate. It can be $100,000. And you can have people all over the place fighting for the money. And then if you have a will, which, again, the statistics on wills are actually, they're not shocking. You hear these statistics that 30% of $10 million families and higher don't have a will, because nobody wants to sit down and plan out their demise. Oh, when I'm dead, here's what's going to happen. It's just not something that we want to do as humans. Now, we know we need to do it. We should do it. For the next generation, we should sit down and do it. It's actually not as complicated of a process as most people think it is. I did a will. I think Lynn made me do a will, I think after we had our first child, and who's now 12 going on 13, right before we flew to a wedding in Costa Rica. She said, look, we're not getting on the plane and go to your friend's wedding in Costa Rica until you get a will. Done. We did it. And then I updated it again after a couple children, and then after another couple children, I delayed it, and I finally redid my will, I want to say, about 2 years ago to include all the boys in the will. Now, there's four of them, but it doesn't need to be complicated. Now, a couple of thoughts here, Richard. The process of probate is the court saying, okay, here's this document that says the furniture goes to you, and the cars go to you, and the house goes to the four of you, and then this account goes here. To avoid some of that, and remember, I'm not an estate planning attorney, but here are a couple really, really straightforward pieces of, these are some logistics that anybody can do to just avoid that process for your heirs to have to go through. First of all, remember, the 2019 estate and gift tax limits are massive. They're $11.4 million per individual. So if you think of a husband and a wife could leave $11.4 million times two, I believe that's $22.8 million to the next generation without estate taxes. Those are the rules as of today. So right now there's not nearly, and there's not that many families that even have to worry about estate tax because that number is so high. So for probably 99.9% of people listening, or 99.5% of people listening today, they're not going to have to worry about the estate tax if something happens right now. Now, it could change, certainly. But a couple of measures. One, you can do a TOD account. TOD means transfer on death. They don't call it a transfer on death account because it sounds horrible. They just call it a TOD account. It sounds better. You can do that at any institution, Fidelity, Schwab, any bank you're in. And that means that the very second that the person that is on that account with you presents the right documentation, let's call it a death certificate and any other documentation, it immediately becomes their asset. It does not have to go through probate court. If you have a joint account at Charles Schwab or Fidelity, something happens to your spouse or your parents. If you're on a joint account with your parents, now joint account has other issues. Let's say you want to trust each other, because a joint account, you can actually, both parties can go in and spend the money. But if you trust family members, which most of us do, then that account immediately goes to whoever is the other person on the account that passed away, who didn't pass away. So either a TOD account or a joint account, those will skip probate. And you can have anything that is a non-retirement account can be in one of those accounts for the most part. The next layer here is you can do a living trust, which means that you designate in that living trust, hey, this is where my assets are going to go. This account goes here. Whereas a will might just say these assets, a living trust can actually get really specific and say this house, here's the tax, here's the property parcel number, here's this account. This can go to this family member. And if it's in a living trust, it can also avoid probate. Now, Richard at Roswell, I'm not an estate planning attorney. There are law firms that do this for a living. They're happy to charge you a ton of money to do so. The short answer here is these account titling can get you a long, long way. Now, to get more into this, of course, you want to find an estate planning attorney. You can always email me and my team. We work with a couple different estate planning attorneys around the Southeast in Georgia. Just give us or email me. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, and I can put you in touch with a couple different firms that'll do living trusts as well, or wills to get those updated or get them done for the first time, because it's important to do. You're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Ryan Ealy, it's time for a WSB prize pack.
The weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see the Eagles on their 2020 tour, which opens for two nights at State Farm Arena on Friday, February 7th and Saturday, February 8th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. The band will perform the Hotel California album in its entirety with an accompanying orchestra and choir, followed by a set of their greatest hits. Caller number 5, the tickets are yours.
When is the date on that? When's the date on the...
February 7th and 8th. It's a 2020 tour at State Farm.
The Eagles. I saw that. That popped up on StubHub this week. That's exciting.
That's going to be a big show. The whole Hotel California album and then their greatest hits.
It's one of I feel like everybody likes the Eagles. Every age, every person. It's going to be crowded.
They bring America together.
I'm surprised they don't do Mercedes-Benz on that. I feel like they need more seats than State Farm. They need like the Benz on that. Anyway, we got to run here. It's Sunday morning. If you would like to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Just go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. If you go to wesmoss.com, you'll see the news sections. A lot of the topics, almost all the topics that we talk about on the radio, we also write about that would be under the news tab, either under money, adventure, social, or health. Those are our four main categories because we're trying to help generate more happy retirees. That is our main goal here. Happy retirees that like income investing. Pretty simple. So find us at wesmoss.com. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team, straight to me and Ryan. Happy to get back to you within 48 hours. Or if you want to set up a time to talk, we're in Sandy Springs. We're here in Atlanta. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk.